Hello and welcome to episode 170 of the Bronx Beat Podcast presented by BP Bronx. I'm your host, EJ Fagan. Tonight, I'm joined by Scott Moss.
Hey, EJ. How you doing?
I am doing fantastic. We're recording a little bit early because I'm about to jet set off to Arizona right after the Arizona Fall League ended for Thanksgiving. And we wanted to record an episode so you guys have something to listen to for Thanksgiving. Derek might also be joining us. He's running a little bit late right now. I think he's somewhere on the highway between Montreal and New York City right now. So who knows what's going on there. But we're going to start off talking about some news. And I think there's been a lot of kind of like little rumors about the Yankees. And we're not going to kind of address the Yankees are interested in kind of rumors. But there are two stories that I think are interesting. And we're going to start off with, I think, the coolest of them, is that the Yankees are considering trading Sonny Gray, or talking to the Cincinnati Reds about trading Sonny Gray. We haven't talked much about Sonny Gray this offseason, but Scott, just to quickly check in, is it right that the Yankees are basically trading Sonny Gray no matter what?
Yeah, I kind of expect that Cashman admitted publicly he's doing it. He didn't play coy or anything. I mean, everybody knows it, so why not? And it does seem like there's enough interest because he pitched well outside Yankee Stadium. I think they won't get back as much value as they gave up, but hey, everybody they traded away has underperformed, so they're not going to get back guys with the same value as Fowler, Mateo, and Caprillion 2 years ago, but they might get back as much value as Fowler, Mateo, and Caprillion now.
I wonder if other teams are ascribing to the Yankees made Sonny Gray throw too few fastballs theory of the case, which I think is very interesting. You know, the Yankees have this kind of weird thing where they have a lot of guys with really good fastballs, and they throw their fastballs at relatively low rates. They throw a lot of breaking balls. And Sonny Gray has been this kind of like sinker, heavy fastball guy his whole career, and the Yankees came in and they told him to like throw a bunch of off-speed pitches. And, you know, that might work for most pitchers. It might be like a good general rule of thumb. But I think for Sonny Gray, there's a good case not to do it. And it seems like he didn't respond too well to it.
It could be. But I remember seeing all these glimmers of hope where there'd be some article on, I think everybody had this article saying, oh, Sonny Gray's finally turned it around. He's throwing more of this, less of that. And, you know, in the end, I think for whatever reason, maybe it was his head, maybe it's dumb luck, and maybe he'll be great elsewhere. But maybe they tried some strategy that didn't work, but at some point he went back to his previous strategies and just didn't work.
Yeah, you know, I think he's not young. He's 28 years old, and although, you know, the aging curve doesn't really start to get deep, you know, steep until you're in your 30s, it's also plausible that he's just kind of in his decline phase. And I think that's a perfectly reasonable explanation for what happened to Sonny Gray last season. I also think that the fact that they're really eager to trade him is a good sign that they're going to spend a lot of money on pitching this offseason.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
All right, so the Reds. The Cincinnati Reds are looking to acquire Sonny Gray. They need pitching. They desperately, desperately need pitching. This is a team that has actually had a pretty good lineup and a pretty good defense, but just no pitching last year. And so they're desperate for Sonny Gray. They've also talked to Corey Kluber, Carlos Carrasco, and I think Zach Greinke, all of which are much better than Sonny Gray. Is there anybody on the Reds roster, major league roster, that you could conceivably you would like them to try a trade for that you think is realistic? We're not going to include prospects right now because it's kind of boring. So like, well, anybody on that roster you think that are worth talking about?
It's kind of a bleak roster, but that's the nature of being the Reds, I guess. And what I'm stuck on is that Cashman's favorite kind of trade is to get the guy who's 24 to 26 and been in the majors but underperforming, basically the Aaron Hicks or Didi Gregorius trade, or I guess on the pitching side it didn't work out as well for Eovaldi and Michael Pineda. But those guys, and I'm not sure, there's always someone like, you know, Sal Romano on the Reds, but I don't know that they give up even a 24-year-old who had a down year for Sonny Gray. So it's hard to figure out what the Reds have that is of value, but not so much value that they'd give him up for Sonny Gray. One guy who jumps out at me is maybe as a useful part is Phil Irvin. Just a not very exciting outfielder, but he has speed. He doesn't have a ton of power, but you know, double-digit home runs in the minors. And he didn't play a lot of center field, but he could play some. I think they groomed him as corner just because they, you know, have Billy Hamilton still, you know, acting like he could play center field the past 2 years and be a major league starter. But, you know, someone like that, where if you get a prospect and a low minors pitching prospect and someone like Phil Irvin, who's a potentially useful part who can back up center field. And, you know, maybe that's all you get. Maybe I'm the low guy on what they'd get for Sonny Gray, though.
So here's my thought. Maybe you don't get him straight for Sonny Gray, but Scooter Gennett makes so much sense to me. He's a left-handed hitter. He's 28 years old. I believe he's a free agent after this season, just like Sonny Gray. And so the Reds probably realistically are not going to contend this coming season. They are realistically going to trade Scooter Gennett at the trade deadline if they don't trade him right now. And he fits the Yankees perfectly. He could play second and have Gleyber Torres slide over to short. There could be some kind of maybe platoon situation, depending on how well everybody's playing once Didi Gregorius gets back. He's a good player. He fits the Yankees' needs exactly right now, and he allows you to go after like a big right-handed hitter like Manny Machado, and not have a lineup completely empty of left-handed batters. Would you give up, let's say, Sonny Gray and like a decent prospect you've heard of but nobody crazy for Gennett?
I was just thinking that the Yankees would have to toss in a prospect. Yeah, I would love to get Gennett. I would say Cashman's a wizard if he could pull that off. Given that Gennett is basically, is it Gennett or Jeanette? Whatever.
Jeanette, I think, yeah.
I think they're not going to get him, so I won't have to learn to pronounce his name. But yeah, yes, he hadn't had as great a year before last year, but his rookie half year was really good. I think he's somewhere between all-star and, above average second baseman, which I would absolutely take for Gray. I think they have to throw in, and, you and I have talked about this, if they throw in some A-ball righty power arm that seem to just grow on trees, and they're a dime a dozen, and half of them will, a third of them will make it, a third will have Tommy John surgery, and a third will just be terrible. Just give up one of those enticing arms. It's just hard for me to figure out what the Reds want, because the premise of giving up Gennett is the Reds aren't going to be good next year, and he only has 1 year left, but so does Sonny Gray. So I don't know what they'd be thinking. So I'll be happy if they'll take Gray and give up value, and absolutely, if they can get Gennett. I was just being Debbie Downer and suggesting that they settle for Irvin and a prospect or something.
Yeah, Jeanette's kind of that weird player that, he's not going to be free, but he's also not going to command like a really big return, with the only 1 year left on his contract. He was a 4.5 win player last year, so that was very good, right? Above average defensive second baseman. He hit, 23 home runs. He slugged, 490. Like, he was really good last year. As a left-handed hitter in Yankee Stadium, I actually wouldn't be shocked if you can kind of up that home run total a little bit. I think he's gettable. And honestly, I hadn't thought about Scooter Gennett before I saw the Sonny Gray trade. And I think if I had to pick like players, in fact, we're going to be doing this later this podcast, pick players the Yankees might acquire, Scooter Gennett, I think, is going to be pretty high on that list. But we'll save that for that other podcast. Would you take Billy Hamilton for Sonny Gray?
I thought about that.
It's a fun question.
I thought there was a role for Hamilton in the past, but I just don't know, because I think Hamilton is, someone who had value just not in a leadoff and center field starting role. But he just turned 28. Speed is the first thing to go, and he's still fast, but speed goes before power and batting eye, and certainly elite speed is really hard to keep like that. And the second he isn't one of the three fastest guys in baseball, he has about zero value because he doesn't walk. His last year numbers are right around his career numbers. He's remarkably consistent. He's a 240s hitter with a 290s on base. He's just a terrible player other than defense and pinch running. And, today's rosters where every team has a zillion relievers and doesn't really have a bench, I don't think there's a role for him as a pinch runner and defensive replacement, as much as I think that's an underrated role to keep guys fresh and in close games. You pinch run for Stanton in the eighth inning if he gets on base in a close game and leave in Hamilton the outfield. I wish they would do that. Given that teams aren't doing that anymore, though, I don't think they will get him.
Let's move on and talk about the Manny Machado news. So the Yankees are considering, I love this, are currently, quote, researching Manny Machado. Hal Steinbrenner made some comments kind of about how the weird Manny Machado, I don't like the hustle thing, wouldn't fly well in New York. It seems like the Yankees are seriously considering Manny Machado as a baseball player, but are concerned about him as a human being. Scott, what is your opinion of these recent events?
So I don't want to rehash our view, because I think we agree that too much has been made of this in the media. There's a lot of, hate out there. But I think that this strikes me as something that I assume the Yankees are sincere in saying it bugs them, because if it doesn't bug them, they wouldn't say it does just for PR because it risks alienating him. I think it bugs him, but it reminds me of his, every now and then some actor will get in trouble for being, you know, racist, sexist, violent, you know, whatever, and then goes on an apology tour, and then he's cast in a huge movie about 6 months later.
And, well, if you're Aldous Chapman, you just don't apologize and sign a big contract and everybody loves you.
Well, that too. And, you know,
that's what killed me about this.
It's, right, which is to say that if there's no forgiveness for not running hard on a ground ball that was going to be an out anyway, when, frankly, folks who've looked at it, you know, have convinced me, I used to always be harsh on anyone not running out a ground ball every time 100%, but, you know, it might not be worth it if you're a star player who's had two knee surgeries. And I suspect that he, frankly, developed this habit when he had knee surgery or a bad knee injury, I think both surgery, on each knee in consecutive years. He probably just developed the habit of triaging it. And look, the guy's kind of been an Iron Man. You don't play over 155 games basically year in, year out since the injuries by being lazy. You know, maybe he just conserves himself a bit. And hey, Cano didn't miss a lot of time either, and he got garbage for this. And you know who plays all out every time? And it's Bryce Harper, and he gets a hard time about it.
I mean, not only that, I mean, Bryce Harper has been less valuable to his team because he keeps crashing into walls than Manny Machado, who occasionally might miss an infield single or something. I mean, it's, I think it's a PR thing from the Yankees in the sense that it's a story out there. They're going to pretend to be concerned about it, and then they're going to, if they sign him, like, they'll like address it in a press conference. And unless Manny Machado has like a bad start to his career as a Yankee, they will never hear of the story again.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of how, you know, I've done hiring at my old law firm and I do admissions at the law school. There are certain things that if you can, once you decide you could get past it, you're basically going to, because all the guys to do is then say the right thing, right? So the tough call is this something you can get past or not? If you're really bugged about this, just don't even entertain it. But if you decide that you could get past it and you'll hear the guy out, what do you think is going to happen? They'll take him out to dinner. His agent will have burnished his answer within an inch of its life to be the perfect contrition, and I play hard, and I care so much, and I feel terrible that people are getting the wrong idea about me, and all I want to do is win, blah, blah, and then he'll get signed.
I think the good news is the Yankees are considering signing Manny Machado. Like, this is not something you would put out there, especially the Yankees, who have a pretty tight front office, if they weren't seriously considering trying to sign him. All right, we're going to move on to our draft, but before we do, we are joined by Derek. Derek, hello.
Hey, EJ. How's it going?
Derek, how was the land of my ancestors, Canada?
It was a lot of fun. It's very cold, though, I have to say. It's very cold to go up there right now, but, you know, Montreal is nice, even when there's a lot of snow on the ground.
I've never been up there in the winter, but I'm not in a rush, but it's beautiful in the summer.
Well, we were all, I was there for a bachelor party, and we were all questioning why the groom wanted to go there.
Yeah, really? Okay, well.
but especially because his future wife had her bachelorette party in Miami last weekend.
So come down to Austin. It's 72 degrees outside today.
Could have done something like that, yeah. But hey, you know, it is what it is. Got through it, survived the cold, so.
All right, we're gonna start the segment, and this is actually the second time we've attempted to record this segment due to some internet difficulties, and so Scott and I already kind of gave it a test run. Here's what we're going to do. We are going to try and predict who the Yankees will sign, trade, or trade away. We're just gonna name players. We're not going to try and name like who's in the trade or anything like that. We'll kind of discuss these pretty briefly, but our intention is to move fairly quickly. We're going to play a little game here, and so we'll keep track of these results and then revisit them right before spring training, and to see who was right, who had the most key predictions. So Derek, since you didn't hear either of our drafts before, I'm going to have you go first, Scott go second, and me go third. So Derek, who is your number one pick of a player that will be moved to or from the Yankees?
That'll be moved to or from the Yankees. I think the most likely guy that is going to get traded off the roster, the guy who's really jumping out at me, is Chad Green. And
really?
Yes. I don't know if it's, based on your reaction, it's definitely not a popular one. But I kind of think that he's a little replaceable. I think Domingo Germán or Johnny Lasagna could probably do what Green does. And I feel like Green is just, he's been great. Like, I'm not going to say he hasn't been good, but I think he is, you know, I think we've gotten the best out of him that we've already gotten, and I think he's been getting hit a little bit harder progressively each of the past 2 years, and he is relying on just one pitch, really. And the only guy to really succeed like that was Mariano. Not to say that Green isn't great, but I think it's not a bad time to explore moving him, especially when you have some depth.
So you would move him for, say, like a temporary shortstop or second baseman, something like that?
I would. I think that might not be a bad idea. That or even in a package to get a pitcher, a starting pitcher. I don't think he'd be a frontliner for like a Carrasco or a Kluber type deal, but I think he could help, you know, sweeten the pot if that's a direction the Yankees would want to go.
Yeah, to be fair, his Statcast numbers did not live up to his real numbers this year, so there might be some indication that he's a little overvalued.
Right, and that's kind of what I'm basing my thought on that is. I'm wondering if the Yankees are going to try to get out ahead of it, maybe.
Reminds me of the Justin Wilson trade a little bit.
It could be, and he just so happened to be what the Yankees got for Justin Wilson, funnily enough. So,
all right, so Scott, take the next one. You're going to take the obvious one and deprive me of it. So,
I think, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think they may trade Sonny Gray. Now, what's funny is just to not give myself any
That's
props
why I was surprised,
this,
Eric.
Just to not give myself any props for this, in the first round that we lost to internet difficulties, EJ and I both forgot to include him in the first round, and then I picked him with the fourth pick. So, yeah, we're not exactly Shakespearean witches here.
And we also recorded a segment before you came on about who they should trade him for. Right.
Okay, great. Now I look really bad. Well,
I think we all forgot.
I think I have a valid excuse in that I was at a bachelor party all weekend, and I just really... I'm in recovery mode right now, so my mind might not be totally sharp at the moment, but I'm doing what I can.
All right, Sonny Gray goes. I'm taking the next obvious pick. I'm taking Patrick Corbin. The Yankees are all over Patrick Corbin. He makes a ton of sense. They wanted him even before he was good this coming year. Then he had one of the best seasons for a pitcher in the National League. He is a New York area guy. He's from Syracuse. He grew up a Yankee fan. He has said he'd love to be a Yankee. I just think he makes too much sense. He's the best pitcher in the market. The Yankees need pitching. Patrick Corbin, I think, is like, I don't know what the odds are because a lot of teams want Patrick Corbin, but is most likely going to be a Yankee. But let's move on. I guess now it's a snake draft. Right? Scott and I didn't even do a snake draft last time, so I'm going to go next. And I'm going to take our old friend David Robertson. I think David Robertson has a ticket back to the Yankees. When we discussed him in kind of our weird little free agent game a few weeks ago, we thought that the salary that MLB trade rumors had predicted for him was a little bit high and kind of constrained their other moves. And I think there's kind of two scenarios where the Yankees re-sign him. One is that they don't go out and sign Bryce Harper or Manny Machado, and then they got a lot of money to spend. Or that they get the salary down a little bit. $11 million per year is a lot. David Robertson's pretty good, but he's not great. And so, you know, I wonder if... if they can get that down to $8 million per year or something like that, and he kind of finishes his career with the Yankees.
Yeah, right. I agree with you on that. I don't see Robertson going anywhere else.
You know, the other reason Robertson's a good pick is I love the fact that he's representing himself. You heard that he fired his agent and he's just they're calling him and he's talking to general managers.
Oh really? That's totally a him staying in the New York move right there.
It's awesome. But it also means there's some chance there'll be a huge discount for him because he's going to screw it up. So I think that's also a reason he'd be a good pick is the Yankees will be in touch with him. It's possible they'll lowball him, see if they can get him for $8 million a year or some weird thing where they tell him like 1 year, $14 million or something rather than 2 years or 3 years or 10 if that's the going rate. Who knows?
Yeah, you don't fire your agent if you're going to like try to take the highest bidder and play teams off against each other. Like he knows where he wants to play. Maybe it's not here, but I think he has a pretty good idea.
So things my turn. I'm going to go with sign J.A. Happ. They liked him last year. He pitched well for them last year. And I think Corbin's more likely. You're right, EJ. But I think it's likely they sign both or Happ's the alternative too because Happ is going to be something like 3 years for 48 to 50, they're guessing, which is probably less than half of what Corbin gets. Now, there's good reason for it because Happ is 5 years older, I think. But for that reason, it's actually not a huge investment in a guy they really like. So that strikes me as really likely.
Yeah, my argument for J.A. Happ is like the Yankees, because they have so many financial resources, can act as the insurance company and they can take on more risk than other teams. And J.A. Happ is like one of those great kind of risk reward guys where you could get three years of like near ace level production if you're lucky. You could get like even like something like Rich Hill has done for the Dodgers. And he could also get old real fast and be terrible, but the Yankees at least should position themselves to absorb that risk. But let's move on. Derek, give me two picks.
I think Paxton is going to happen.
Damn, that's my pick.
Yeah, I think Paxton's going to happen. And I also I'm having a hard time with the second one right now, but one I have a list of free agents in front of me, and one guy that kind of popped right up to me who I don't think is as obvious of a guy, but I'm just going to go with it anyway because it's fresh in my head. Garrett Richards, who's injured, and I think he's going to have to rehab most or if not all this year, but the Yankees are known to love guys with, you know, great breaking balls, and Garrett Richards has just a ridiculous spin rate on his curveball. I think it's like the highest in the game by far, and he throws hard. I think he pushes upper 90s. It's kind of a, it's not a 2019 addition, but it's something that it could help, you know, down in the 2020. And I'm forgoing the obvious, you know, guy. Like I want Machado and Harper, but I'm not so confident the Yankees are going to actually make those moves, so I'm going a little off the beaten path.
Oh, we got rounds in the future. Scott, give me another pick.
Trade away Clint Frazier, because I love Clint Frazier. I'll be sad if they get rid of him, but the Yankees, I think they're going to sign big game, but they're also, I think, probably going to trade for at least one big name, big player, just because you run out of holes you could fill when you need as many things. Middle infielder, maybe another bat, and at least two starters, a reliever or two. If there's anything the Yankees need less than a power-hitting righty corner outfielder, I don't know what it is. So Clint Frazier seems like the A number one commodity they have, who is talented, has high value, but has vastly more value to virtually any team in baseball other than the Yankees.
My argument against Clint Frazier is just I think teams are going to wait on the concussion a little bit. They want to see him back in the field before they're willing to you know, shell out something good for him.
Could be.
But maybe a doctor's a doctor's evaluation could solve for that. I'm going to move on. My first pick, we've talked about him already, Scooter Gennett. I think he makes just too much sense for the Yankees. Short-term deal, second baseman, can play that position. Left-handed hitter, he's pretty good. The Reds aren't going anywhere. I think they're going to trade him. I just think he makes a ton of sense, and especially since Sonny Gray, they're talking about Sonny Gray. Maybe there's some way to make that deal also kind of happen. But that was the easy one. And so I'll take a slightly more esoteric one, but kind of the same idea. I'm going with Starlin Castro. The Yankees need a second baseman. Starlin Castro is expensive. The Marlins don't want him. He wasn't happy in Miami this year. The Yankees have already done some trades with the Marlins, and so they have kind of a relationship there. There's former members of the Yankee front office over there. I don't think he would be very, very difficult to pry from the hands of the Marlins. Wasn't very good last year, but still only 29 years old he's going to be. Wasn't very good, was still actually a 107 OPS plus, so there's something there. You know, he was a, wow, I didn't realize, a 3-WAR player by Baseball Reference. Okay, never mind the not good part. I want the trade for him. He's good. I'll take him. Give me Starlin Castro.
Yeah. So what's really interesting is that we're 10 picks deep and we did not pick Manny Machado. And I think that's right because, look, Manny Machado, they'd have interest in him. I think it strikes me as likely, but anybody who's going to be as popular as a prom date as Manny Machado, there are going to be all these teams wooing him. Can't be that likely. It wouldn't have made sense for him to be the number one, but sure, I'll take Manny Machado. He's the 11th most likely move for the Yankees to make, and I hope
the Yankees
so.
Are researching him, as we've talked about already.
So. Yeah, they want to learn more about him because it's not like, you know, he's one of those guys you don't hear much about.
All right, Derek, give me two picks.
All right, I have one a little out of the box here, I think. I'm going to go back to the well with the Mariners, and I think that there's going to be a bad contract for bad contract deal, and it's going to be along the lines of Ellsbury for Kyle Seager.
Oh, I was going to pick something different. Okay, so tell me about Kyle Seager. We don't talk about him a lot.
So Kyle Seager, he had a bad year last year. He had an 86 OPS plus. He had a low on-base percentage. He's still at 22 home runs, but you know he's only a year removed from really solid offensive production. He's been quite consistent throughout his career. He's a left-handed bat that the Yankees seem to be looking for, plays third base. Andujar can DH more, or you could even DH Seager. I don't really know how good Seager is defensively. To touch on the money, though, real quick, he and Ellsbury are owed a very similar amount over the next two seasons, and then Seager has one extra year for another $18 million or so. So there has to be something to balance out the money in there because there's a little bit more owed to Seager. And obviously, you know, Ellsbury would have to waive his no trade clause. But I think that's something that could be worth exploring. And maybe some, I mean, I know it's going to be just, this would just be crazy, but some Ellsbury prospects for Seager and Paxton. I mean, my trade proposal probably just gets laughed at by, you know, whoever is in the front office on either side. But, you know, if the Mariners are really tearing it down, I think Seager's somebody you could look at as an option. And to make the prospect cost a little cheaper on Paxton if you eat some of his salary.
All right, so that's one pick, Seager. What's your next pick?
Oh boy.
The wheel is hard. I'm having trouble myself.
We're going really deep here.
We're going to go until we drop. This is a marathon.
I'm going to go with, I'm looking at free agent lists, and I'm just going to kind of throw a dart at the wall here. And I'm going to go with Asdrubal Cabrera.
Exciting pick right there. But okay, let's move on to Scott.
it's just not a great pick, but it's the name I saw. I was like, they need an infielder, sure.
It's actually a pretty good pick because I think he's played second and short and he's cheap, so he's one of those guys you could just have a break glass in case of emergency, kind of a guy you don't feel bad if you bench him. So I'm gonna go with a somewhat similar one, signed Marwin Gonzalez. He basically plays every position near as I can tell, so in a way, whether you want to go with second base or shortstop, or if they do something crazy like trade on Duhar, he could fill in there. And he's the sort of guy I think they would like because it lets him do clever move guys around tactics. And you wouldn't feel bad if you bench him if Gregorius comes back and they have Torres and they have Duhar or someone else. So I'm going to go with him.
All right. I got two picks right here. I'm going to go for some big names. I think it's time for some big names. The first of those big names is going to be Charlie Morton. Very few pitchers have been better on a per-inning basis in the American League over the last 2 years than Charlie Morton. The Astros figured something out when they acquired him from the Pirates. He was considering retiring. I suspect that was either a negotiation move or it was legitimate, but he's not going to retire now. I don't think he'd be a long-term contract, but he's kind of that player that the Yankees need. And in a similar but I guess a little more ambitious vein, I'm going with Dallas Keuchel. Keuchel is basically a younger version of Jay Happ in my mind. Happ has a higher strikeout right now and like kind of reinvented himself, but he's kind of in that same like reliable, can pitch innings, pretty good starting pitcher. I think the one caveat with Dallas Keuchel is that because he's a left-handed ground ball pitcher, you got to improve your infield defense if you sign him. So if there's like a master plan that involves something with Miguel Andujar, with Manny Machado at third, that kind of thing, I think that he makes a lot of sense. I don't think he makes a lot of sense if your infield for the first half of next year is Miguel Andujar, Manny Machado, Gleyber Torres, and Luke Voit. That would be bad. I think he's underrated. I think, you know, true 200 inning pitchers are rare these days. And this is a guy who's had a FIP below four in every single year since 2013. That's pretty good. I'm pro Dallas Keuchel.
That's a good one. In part because, look, if they don't get Corbin and or don't get Happ, they're going to sign one of the next two guys, and you just got the next two guys.
The Yankees need pitching. Like, pick pitchers. There are pitchers coming into the Yankees. It's happening.
Yep. So I'm going to go with sign Adam Ottavino, my friend from the Rockies. This is a guy who strikes out over the past 4 years. He's averaged 12 strikeouts per nine. He walks over four per nine, so it's nail-biting every time. But he actually hasn't given up a lot of home runs for Coors Field. He's just nearly unhittable. He may walk you. So he's a lot like Dylan Betances. But he's a Brooklyn native. He's really cerebral. He's a guy who reinvented himself at, I think, Driveline with Tim Lincecum in the offseason and, you know, worries about pitch movement and spin rate and working out. So I think he's their kind of guy. He's a New Yorker, so he's not going to stress out about moving here. I mean, hey, if you pitched in Coors and didn't go curl into a fetal mass, then you can clearly handle pressure. So he strikes me as their kind of guy, and I think that's sort of the hedge on Robertson. They either get Ottavino or Robertson, and Ottavino may be better, and they're similar age.
All right, Derek, you get one more reasonable pick, and then after that, the next two rounds, I am decreeing that the picks must be fun.
Yeah.
So one normal pick, and then I want the crazy okay. ideas.
All right, so I'm kind of – here's my normal pick. I'm kind of hedging my bets here. I'm picking a lot of infielders. I've already gone with Seager and Asdrubal Cabrera. I'm going to go with Mike Moustakas again. I'm trying to get enough options out there, so I might be right on one of them. Moustakas fits the bill, left-hand hitter, power hitter. He's been okay in the last couple of years. He was decent for the Royals and Brewers, and I think he doesn't cost that much money. You could probably get him on a 1-year deal, and he's a, you know, he's not a bad fallback option, all things considered, for what else is out there. And I think that makes sense. As for a long shot, crazy idea.
Just a fun pick. It doesn't have to be a long shot, crazy idea. I want a backup infielder here. Give me a big name.
Oh, I don't want to go obvious either, because I really want Manny Machado, but I'm not gonna go obvious.
He's been taken by Scott.
Oh yeah. Well, I think I've been scrambling to come up with ideas while you guys have been picking, I guess. So that's part of the problem. I would love to have Walker Buehler. I mean, there's no chance of getting him, but I would love to have him.
Good pick. Okay. Moving on. Scott.
I'm going to go trade for Corey Kluber. I think any one trade for someone that big has to be a long shot, but it makes a lot of sense. If the Indians are willing to give him up, I think the Yankees would trade the farm for him, because the Yankees would
go to Sheffield now. And Clint Frazier?
Sure. pick three guys. You know, it'd be almost like the expansion draft, where it's protect 15 guys in your roster and pick any of the rest. I think the Yankees would give up the farm for him, and they should.
Yeah, I don't really understand what the Indians are doing, because they still have another couple of years of contention in them, and they're just trying to trade their best pitchers. I don't know.
And they're in a terrible division, so what? They don't have to have much more than Kluber and Carrasco and Bauer to win.
All right, you guys tell me if you want to veto this as a fun pick, but I am going to take Japanese import Yusei Kikuchi.
That's good.
Kikuchi was really good in Japan, and I think we underrate these kind of players when they go over the States. This is a guy who had a 1.97 ERA in 2017, 2.58 in 2016. He's, you know, still kind of young. He'll be 28 next year. He was good last year, though not great, as great as the previous years, so maybe there's some concern about decline. I think he's the kind of player the Yankees should spend money on. The posting fee actually ups his price a little bit without increasing his luxury tax penalty, which gives the Yankees a slight advantage there. They should try to exploit that weakness for all they can. And, you know, I think he's pretty good. And I think that, you know, Masahiro Tanaka maybe can help attract him over here. There's a lot of good reasons that the Yankees should go for the big Japanese player again. And I feel like a lot of the times these guys are really good and come at a discount.
And you get a second one, I think, because we're doing snake draft.
Oh, you're right. I get a second one. Jacob DeGrom. There's the fun one. All right. So, look. Okay. The Mets have a new general manager. The general manager isn't a genius, right? He isn't like a whiz kid, like analytic type. He's a former agent. He, in fact, used to be Jacob DeGrom's agent, which is crazy and borderline and very unethical. The Mets are going nowhere fast. Their best move is to trade Jacob DeGrom. The Yankees would love to have Jacob DeGrom. They could give the Mets a sizable return. I'm thinking including somebody like Miguel Andujar for Jacob DeGrom. And I think that the Mets might do it. And here's the other thing. I think the Mets aren't very smart, even with their new general manager. And Miguel Andujar, I think, is overrated by the general miasma of like MLB TV commentators and or like the baseball in general comments. I think he does a lot of really good things. He's really flashy. He had a pretty good rookie season, but there's reason to believe he was lucky last year. There's reason to believe his defense will continue to hold him down, and that if he does not BABIP something very, very high, his low on-base percentage is going to make him a not very valuable player. I think if you can trade him for someone like DeGrom, you do it. Bring in the Cy Young Award winner. He'll be your opening day starter. It'll be amazing.
That's a good one. So I had something more realistic, but let me, you know, you guys went for Walker Buehler and Jacob DeGrom, so let me in good faith pick something similar. I'll say trade for Noah Syndergaard. I'm just still so high in Noah Syndergaard. If you ask me who I'd rather have as an asset, Syndergaard or DeGrom, I think I'd go with Syndergaard. Did he turn 26? He turned 26. He just turned 26. He's a little bit younger than Aaron Judge, I think, and he has a career 2.93 ERA. He hasn't had a bad year. He's had injuries, but last year they were freak things. He had a weird finger swelling, and he had hand, foot, and mouth disease from a kid's camp the Mets did, where he must not have washed his hand after touching some snot-nosed kid's hands to show him a curveball or something. So I think he's as valuable an asset as there is, someone that good who's not a free agent until 2022. I can't believe they're even talking about trading him. And the fact that their answer when asked about trading Syndergaard by the media isn't just no way, no how, just confirms I agree with you, EJ. This is a team that's being run dumbly, and you know, they said the latest quote is they won't trade away for just prospects. But that makes no sense to me because you don't even talk about trading him or DeGrom if you think you might win now. So I could see something like Andujar and Clint Frazier for Syndergaard, honestly. And, you know, that'd be a steal, but I don't know what the Mets are doing here.
All right, Derek, give me two picks.
I am going – are we going – are we going fun still, or are we...
We're going fun still. I have two more fun picks in, right. So we're going to do one more loop around here.
I have one fun one that's, again, totally unrealistic, but Jose Ramirez. I would, if the, I know the Indians have said that they're not going to trade him or Lindor, but you know what?
If you're tearing down, you might as well tear down.
If you're tearing down, right? You might as well go all the way in. Jose Ramirez would just be awesome. I mean, I would give up, you know, there's, he's a top, probably a top five player in all of baseball, and I would give up just about anything for him. I mean, Andujar, Frazier, Sheffield, whatever they want for Jose Ramirez, I'd pretty much give it up for him. And then another pick, oh man, this is, there's just so much out there. I would love to get Max Scherzer. I think the Nationals can still be good without Bryce Harper next year, but if for whatever reason they think it's time to rebuild, I would just go right for Scherzer.
They totally should rebuild. They should trade Anthony Rendon and Max Scherzer to the Yankees and just rebuild. Because
Rendon would be awesome, too. He's another great player.
That roster is so precarious at the moment. Like, it relies on Max Scherzer being admittedly the best pitcher in baseball, like the second or third best pitcher in baseball, which he is. But he's old. He's 33. And it's such a Stars and Scrubs roster right now. You need to rebuild that team.
I don't know, man. They might be pretty good. I mean, are the Phillies and Braves, are they, you know, the Phillies kind of fell off at the end of last year, but, you know, not to go too far off topic, I guess, but the Braves, you know, I mean, they have a lot of young talent too, but I think everything that could go wrong went wrong for the Nationals last year, and you know, they still have a lot of good players, and they'll have a full year of Juan Soto, and they could still be pretty good.
They might still have a window, and maybe like the trade deadline's that point. But like when Rendon leaves that team, like they better restock it so that they don't waste Trey Turner and Juan Soto and Victor Robles possibly too. But all right, sorry, that's a digression. Scott, give me a fun player.
I got a fun one. You ready for fun? Sign Adam Warren. No, I'm kidding. That's not fun at all. I'm not going to go with that. I'm going to go with trade Miguel Andujar. In that, I don't know how likely it is, but I could see something like if they don't get one of Corbin and Happ, the two free agent pitchers they really like, I could see them saying, I don't like Morton or Keiko, so we have to trade for a starter. And if you trade for a starter, your two chips are Clint Frazier, Miguel Andujar. And it's possible they're even more down on Andujar's defense than we know. I mean, once you're pulling him out of playoff games, that's telling, I think. But I could see a team thinking, well, we have a great infield coach, or who knows, or we can put him at first base, or who knows, you take just a young guy. But I think he's a reasonably likely piece in any big, big pitcher trade.
All right, I'm going Madison Bumgarner. So Madison Bumgarner, the San Francisco Giants are in terrible shape, right? No farm system, massive, expensive, bloated roster, none of whom are any good anymore. And the only player really worth trading on that team at the moment is Bumgarner. Now, Bumgarner is far from peak Bumgarner right now. I think he's 30 years old, or he's approaching 30 years old. He's had a FIP just below 4 the last couple of years. He's had a lower ERA, in part thanks to the really good ballpark that he plays in. But I think he would improve the Yankees. I think there's a good chance that the Yankees could bring him back into that 200-inning workhorse. I forget what injuries he's had, but he had some like weird freak injuries, right? Was he the trampoline guy?
No, he rode a motorbike when he was in Colorado, and he rode his motorbike and landed on his pitching shoulder.
Okay, well, there we go. Yeah, so he's had some freak injuries that I think are perfectly recoverable, and you could totally see Madison Bumgarner being good, and he could be our DH. So moving on.
One more.
I need one more pick, and Max Scherzer was going to be that pick. So since you picked that, I'm going with Anthony Rendon. Guess who's been better over the last 3 years, Anthony Rendon or Bryce Harper? Answer, Anthony Rendon. He's really, really good. For some reason, nobody ever talks about him, even though he's one of the best players in baseball, one of the most consistent players in baseball over the last 3 years. He's a third baseman. He fills the need that the Yankees have. And I think that he fits on this team. The only problem is that he's a right-handed hitter. But if the Nationals are going to trade him, I think that's a perfectly plausible player to come to the Yankees. Scott, last pick.
Sign Bryce Harper. Just got to pick him. But I think the reason I think it's not crazy, so I've heard the rumors, we've all heard that the Yankees just aren't that into him. But here's the thing. Harper and Machado, they're, yes, incredible high-value free agents at, you know, their ages. But each of them has so many detractors that you could see them not getting nearly what they think, and then the Yankees swoop in, kind of like they did with Stanton. I'm not saying Harper's going to cost just $100 million, but if he costs $50 million less than everybody thought, well, maybe the Yankees weren't interested at the expectation of $350 to $400, which is certainly Bryce's expectation, having turned down $350 from the Nationals. And, you know, there's some chance that they've seen him work out at first base, and he has done a little bit in spring trainings and whatnot, so who knows? It'll be fun if it happens. We'll be happy.
Or the pillow contract, right? He strikes out for the $400 million contract, so he takes a one-year, $25 million deal with the Yankees.
Oh, I mean, that would be really fun. Is let's say the Yankees called him up now and said, clearly you bet on yourself. We like that. You didn't take the extension during your ARB years. How about 1 year, $50 million? Something like that. They're not going to do it, but I did give it a shot.
Derek, give us the last pick.
John Gray, that's my last pick.
Ooh, good one.
I would definitely take him, and the Rockies need outfielders. I think Clint Frazier would be awesome there. I wouldn't want more than John Gray for Clint Frazier, but I think it's a decent start.
All right, Scott, as the resident Coloradan, how good is John Gray?
He's good. He's one of those rare guys where the head case rumors may be true because his FIP was always much better.
You've already picked Scherzer, so.
Yeah, exactly. His FIP was always good even when he was terrible. And he is sort of an emotional guy, not in a hothead way, but sort of almost sensitive. So I was actually at the game where he struck out 16 Padres in a complete game shutout, where the two hits were ground balls that their backup shortstop playing that day was terrible and didn't get. It should have been a no-hitter. But in the ninth inning, he was like kicking the dirt and jumping up and down. I think he's just as a guy who needs to switch to decaf or something, and then he'll be fine. Because he has the talent. He also, there are rumors that he wasn't in good shape at times. And he said, this offseason, I'm just going to work out like a madman. I did, you know. So there's something off about him. But the talent is actually number one starter. But I think they're really, really sick of him. They just don't want to ever see him in that uniform again. And I'm kicking myself. There's a great pick, Derek, because I've been saying with my Rockies fan friends, almost nothing fits better than Clint Frazier going to the Rockies. The Rockies also have a fast center field slash corner guy, Raimel Tapia, who's literally one of the top 10 fastest guys in baseball, but they just hate him because he's sort of, I think he may just be really slow-witted. He does things like fall down when running and, you know, his shoes will be untied and the weird things like that. There was a great catch he made, but then the ball bounced off his face before he caught it. So he's a strange guy, but this could be, I mean, maybe they'll trade Sonny Gray there or something, but
yeah,
Frazier, I could see. Absolutely, I could see Clint Frazier.
I'm going to add two more things about Gray. One, I think the Yankees drafted him, and he didn't sign with them a few before he was late. You know, I guess he was out of high school that they drafted him, and then he went to college. And then number two, I don't want to see the Astros pick up a Gray and like turn him into an ace, so better get ahead of that.
Fun fact, John Gray was drafted 4 times.
Wow.
Once by the Kansas City Royals, three times. Once by the Yankees out of junior college,
okay.
And then by the Rockies out of the University of Oklahoma.
I mean, one more thing about Gray, I think you convinced me he's a really likely trades topic, so it's embarrassing for the others of us, Derek, that he was our 30th pick because...
Well, I picked Chad Green first before Sonny Gray, so...
Yeah, you know, I feel like maybe Chad Green should have been your 10th and John Gray your first because John Gray's a legit three-pitch guy. I mean, I've seen him, you know, other than this past season when he might have been out of shape or was a head case, you know, he'll sit 95, 96 with good control, then throw 98 and 99 when the good hitter comes up. He has a slider that dips into the dirt. He calls it his down slider, which is a running joke of my kick because that's not a pitch that exists and nobody knows what he's talking about. But he also, it's interesting, he junked his changeup in favor of using a curve as a changeup because it goes much slower. And I think so. I think he actually is... He's not lazy. He's thinking about what he's doing. He might be thinking too much. It might be like early Zach Greinke, where there's some anxiety, there's some overthinking, but, you know, he's still not that old, and the talent is through the roof.
I just had a thought. Would you do, any of you, either of you, Miguel Andujar for Nolan Arenado?
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. I think the Rockies would, though.
Andujar would look so good in Coors Field because... The kind of hard contact that he makes, like all over the field, will just fall in for doubles and triples and home runs, just like crazy in that ballpark.
And the Rockies, they try to get a strikeout staff to avoid contact. So you know, it's possible that defensive limitations are less pronounced there. And also the Rockies have a hole at first, so they can move him to first if he's capable of that as an alternative.
And they're kind of dumb. So
yeah.
Might... All right. So on that note, you guys, this was a great draft. Thank you very much. We'll revisit it when we go into spring training to see who did best. We'll be back after Thanksgiving, unless there's some sort of news. We'll do an emergency podcast if there's news. But otherwise, we'll be back after Thanksgiving. Have a happy Turkey Day. I'm always very excited for Turkey Day. Hopefully we get a nice little Black Friday present from Brian Cashman. Everybody, this has been your Bronx Beat Podcast.